the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the guilt of my sin. All-powerful God, merciful Father, I, a poor, pitiful sinner, confess to you all my sins and unrighteousness. By them I have continually offended you, and fairly deserve your punishment, both now and eternally. But from my heart I am sorry for them, and I sincerely repent of them. And I
your testimonies in righteousness
and in all faithfulness.
My zeal consumes me
because my foes forget your words.
Your promise is well tried
and your servant loves it.
Your righteousness is righteous forever
and your law is true.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. O Lord, keep your church in your perpetual mercy. And because without you we cannot but fall, preserve us from all things hurtful and lead us to all things profitable to our salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the seventh Sunday in Martyr Tide is from the book of the prophet Amos, the 8th chapter. Hear this, you who trample on the needy and bring the poor of the land to an end, saying, when will the new moon be over that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may offer wheat for sale, that we may make the ephah small and the shekel great, and deal deceitfully with false balances, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and sell the chaff of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Praise the Lord, praise, O servants of the Lord.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
From this time forth and forevermore.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
The Lord is high above all nations,
and his glory above the heavens.
Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high?
Who looks far down on the heavens and the earth.
He raises the poor from the dust,
and lifts the needy from the ash heap,
to make them sit with princes,
with the princes of his people.
He gives the barren woman a home,
making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord.
Glory
be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's first letter to Timothy, the 2nd chapter. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings, and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, rather she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve.
And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing, if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus also said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'And how much do you owe?' He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed him, for he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts, for what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you.
Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text from 1 Timothy chapter 2, St. Paul writes, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. I desire that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet, for Adam was formed first, then Eve." This is our text. The first thing to say is something that's pretty obvious. Human beings come in two kinds, male and female. And that's not an accident. That's not a bug or a flaw in creation. And it's certainly not a problem in need of fixing or of mending. Male and female is a design feature. It's how God made humanity from the beginning. All the way back in Genesis, when it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." Male and female created alike in God's image, and yet distinct and different. And it doesn't take a theologian, it doesn't take divine revelation to begin to see the differences. All it takes is an ultrasound. With an ultrasound, the differences are obvious even before birth, and those differences go right down to the cellular level and to your genetic code. So God has made each one of us an embodied soul, embodied as either male or female. But why make such a big deal about male and female, you might ask? Why focus on something that may cause us to cringe or even create controversy? Because St. Paul makes a big deal of it, and he makes a big deal of it in 1 Timothy. The background is this: St. Paul is in his later years. His death is right around the corner, no more than probably 2 or 3 years away, and he is writing to a young pastor, Timothy, whom he mentored and ordained. He knows that his time is short. He also knows that there are going to be problems in the church and problems with teaching and among pastors and people. And so he's writing to give helpful instructions about church practices, to give encouragement to those who lead the church, and to provide sound teaching for young and old and for men and women. As we hear the passage today and as you read through 1 and 2 Timothy, pay attention to what St. Paul says about your particular callings in life. And Paul begins this letter with a warning. He instructs Timothy to charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine. You can hear behind that a worry that St. Paul has, a concern that people will come teaching things that are false, and that in doing so they may lead people astray or lead people to depart from the faith. Now, we don't know a lot about the false doctrines that St. Paul has in mind specifically here, but we do get a hint from what he writes. It may sound strange, but later in 1 Timothy, he mentions that certain people forbid marriage. He mentions that these same people require Christians to abstain from certain foods that God has created, marriage and food, created by God to be received with thanksgiving, called by God good as part of his creation, and yet these false teachers seem to have a problem with those things. So it perhaps shouldn't be a surprise when St. Paul also decides to address and be concerned about the roles of men and women. And notice that St. Paul deliberately addresses this topic. He doesn't shy away from it. Men's and women's roles, it seems, were likely under attack, certainly from our fallen nature and also by false teachers as well. Now, St. Paul addresses these things in the context of prayer, of worship, and of order within the church. He's talking about how we live together as Christians. He says, first of all, then, I urge that prayers, supplications, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. And it's in the context of urging prayer for all people that Paul then takes up a discussion of the particular roles of men and women. He addresses the men first. So guys, pay attention. He says, I desire that in every place men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. It's striking to me that St. Paul sees a need to say this. It suggests that there's a problem. Men should pray, he says. But it sounds like they're more apt to argue and dispute, to create conflicts. They're better at being angry and quarreling. St. Paul says that such actions have no place in the church. They are at odds with what men are called to do, to lift holy hands and so lead the congregation in prayer for all people. It was impossible back in St. Paul's day, and it is impossible today still, to quarrel and pray at the same time. Try it. It doesn't work. St. Paul also addresses women. He says, I desire likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. You can hear in this passage two things that are tied together. On the one hand, St. Paul speaks about the appearance and conduct of women. And on the other hand, he speaks about their role in public worship and their relationship to spiritual leadership in the congregation. And don't get hung up on things like the braided hair. What that meant back in the first century was something different than it means today. It had certain sexual overtones and implications that it doesn't among us. But the point, obviously, that you can see is this. In Paul's day, women were apparently more concerned with how they dress than with good works and learning the faith. And just as prayer is appropriate for the men of the congregation in leading the congregation, so quietness and submissiveness were appropriate for the women in the church. This, in fact, was the standard teaching, not only for St. Paul, but for all the Christians in the early church. Now, I know, again, as I said earlier, why take up things that may make us cringe? Why take up things that may create controversy? Because they're there in the scriptures. Now, some want to dismiss 1 Timothy 2 by saying that it's out of step, or it's inauthentic, or it's just plain wrong. We cannot take that path. We are Christians, and we adhere to Holy Scripture. And if we don't want to listen to God's word, then what's the point of being together at all? And if we don't want to hear it when it maybe rubs us the wrong way, then what we're really saying is we want God only to say what our itching ears want to hear. So St. Paul's warnings are for us as well. A warning not to follow after any new teaching, especially new teachings about men and women, but to let the Holy Spirit guide us through his word. And of course, if things were backwards and confused in Paul's day, you can be sure that they're just as backwards and confused today, if not more so. Are men still prone to anger and quarreling instead of prayer? Are men still prone to conflict? No doubt we are. All you have to do is look at our local prisons to see. They are filled with men. Men who have been angry and quarreled and been in conflict. And even if quarreling doesn't seem like an issue here in our congregation, it easily could be. And there's a warning. None of us are far from it. And no doubt it is and has been an issue in many Christian congregations. But I think in our day, there's perhaps a larger problem and issue. And the larger problem is this, that men too often fail to lead. Too often men fail to lead spiritually and in prayer. We could put it this way. men should pray. But do we? Men, do you pray? Do you pray by yourselves? Do you pray at home? Do you pray at church? I know, and I don't see it often here, but I know it's the case in some churches, that people will come back from visiting a sister church and they will say, no one was singing or speaking, or none of the men opened their mouths during the service. What a shameful thing. The problem may not be for us that we're doing with anger and quarreling, but it may be that we're barely doing it at all. So men, consider this a call to arms. Don't stand by the side. Don't be lazy. The most masculine thing you could do for yourself, for your family, and for your congregation is to pray. When you get up in the morning, begin with prayer and make a plan to pray throughout the day. There's nothing shameful about setting an alarm to remind yourself to pray. Use the tools that we have for good. And exercise your leadership not by stirring up conflicts, but by depending on God through prayer. And women, for your part, you are to pay more attention to how you live than to how you dress. Don't obsess about how others perceive you or think about you. Don't be vain. It's better to have plain dress with a devout and godly life than to have all the latest fashions but without godliness. What you put on is of far less importance than the life that you live outwardly. And even if immodesty doesn't seem like an issue here in our congregation, it easily could be. We know that because it is in the culture. And no doubt it is an issue among some Christians and in some Christian congregations. So women, when you get up in the morning, ask yourself, what am I going to put on? When you ask yourself, what am I going to put on, instead of starting with your closet or your drawer, start with your baptism. Make the sign of the cross over yourself and say, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, dress yourself first in Christ. Dress yourself with his forgiveness, with his righteousness, with his holiness. And if you have other questions, if you're not sure about your motives or about what you're wearing, if you're a young woman and want guidance in these matters, find a mature sister in Christ to talk to. And don't be afraid to ask their advice. And when it comes to church, make it your aim to pay attention, to learn, and to listen quietly. And of course, St. Paul is not saying that women have no place in the church. He is saying precisely the opposite. They are to learn. They are even to speak up, but they are not to be in the authoritative role of teaching. This is why in our church we do not have women pastors. So do learn. Do sing. Do confess the faith. Do ask questions during Bible class. Speak up and offer help, but not in a way that puts down, embarrasses, disrupts order, or orders those in spiritual leadership around. It is a conscious choice to make, to begin with quietness and submission, to have the humble attitude of one who receives, to value your role as a helper. As I said, the public role of teaching, spiritual authority, and governing in the church is limited in Scripture to men, and this has been the universal practice of the Christian church throughout history, up until about the 1960s. And if you lived through the 1960s, well, enough said on that. When it comes to both men and women and our place in the church, there is nothing that paralyzes Christians more, and there is nothing that causes more problems in the church than when men and women think primarily of themselves. And that, I think, is the issue that St. Paul is diagnosing, the underlying issue both for men and women. For the men who ended up in angry and quarreling because they were so convinced that they were right, and for the women who cared more about how they looked than about putting on the good works that God would have them do. You see, St. Paul sees here how the curse from Genesis 3 has taken hold in this fallen world. And even though we cannot be entirely free of our sinful nature, even though we cannot put the curse fully behind us in this moment, he encourages the church, he encourages us at our Savior to a healthy life together. And why? Why this order in the church between men and women? It is for our good, and it is for the sake of the gospel. There's that section that St. Paul talked about in 1 Timothy chapter 2. When he first started talking about prayer, he talked about praying for all people, including those in authority, and he ended up talking about Jesus. As he's talking about prayer, he says, God, our Savior, desires all people to be saved. That is the core and crux of what St. Paul is about, what the Holy Scriptures are after, that God desires all people to be saved, all races and ages and men and women of every language and tribe and people. But how can the message of God our Savior be shared when the men are angry and quarreling and the women are thinking of themselves? He desires all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is, he says, one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. Even as St. Paul offers direction and instruction and teaching about other matters, he still hones in and focuses on the good news of the one who stands between us and God, the man, Christ Jesus. And notice that he stresses our Lord's humanity, that he was made fully human like us. He too created in the image of God, or we might say we created in his image. And he came as our mediator, the one who stands between us and God. He is our head, our leader, the one who on the cross lifted holy hands for us, even praying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How true that was of those Roman soldiers who put Christ on the cross. How true that was of the Jewish leaders who crucified their Messiah. And how true it often is of us as well. When we take in the ways of the world, when we absorb the culture and society around us to the neglect of God's word. Our Lord paid for our sins. He has accomplished atonement on the cross. And he did it for all people, for men and women, for young and old. So that with respect to salvation, not our roles in this world, but with respect to salvation, we believe there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We have the same promises. We have the same inheritance. We have the same mediator and savior. And we have the same God who desires our salvation, one and all. The reason that St. Paul gives for the distinction between men and women in the church is this. He says, Adam was formed first, and then Eve. It has to do with men as men and women as women. And it is because man was created first and woman second that he also notes this. Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Now, St. Paul is not taking Adam off the hook here. You can read Romans and see that he nails Adam. Through one man, sin entered the world. But he notes a difference. Eve was deceived. She was the first to believe the serpent. The implication is that Adam was not deceived. Adam's eyes were wide open. He was simply disobedient, flat out. These are the characteristic weaknesses that played a role in the fall with both Adam and Eve. Man and woman, defective in different ways. Man and woman, redeemed by Christ in the same way. And I do want to make sure that I don't miss the very last words, perhaps the most confusing of all. She will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. This does not mean that women are saved by having children. This does not mean that the whole destiny of women is childbearing. Absolutely not. In fact, a better translation is this: she will be saved by the birth of the child. In the Greek, there is the article. The birth of the child is what saves women as well as men. It means that even though woman became a transgressor by being deceived and man by being disobedient, yet both woman and man will be saved by the birth of the Christ, the seed of the woman. As God said to the serpent, he will crush your head and you will bruise his heel. So there is a central role for woman in salvation. And we can look no further than Saint Mary, the mother of God, to see this. Mary, who mirroring Eve, but in a positive way, when she hears the word from God, not from the serpent, she hears it and believes. You will have a son, and he will be the Son of the Most High. And Mary said, let it be to me as you have said. Contrast that with Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, who when he heard, did not believe. And even when it comes to the resurrection, consider the role of the women. Who are the first to visit the tomb? Who are the first to believe when the angel says that he is risen from the dead? It is the women. They are the first. And then afterwards, when the apostles and men, too, have their eyes opened, the church grows. They are joined together in the faith, men and women, centered on Christ, the one mediator who bore all our sins and has reconciled us to the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. And the roles he has for us in the church, the roles he gives to us as men and women, as head and helper, are still valid. And they are still to be valued by us as God's people. We are not in competition, but in Christ we are in harmony and we are working together, not only that we may know our Lord and Savior, but that others may know him as well, because he desires all men to be saved. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, with your sins forgiven, taught by our Lord, take up the role and the calling that he has given you. Men, lift your holy hands in prayer for yourselves and your families and your church. Women, adorn yourselves with good works, of which you have many, and learn quietly and in submission, that God's word may serve all of us as we go through this life, under Christ our head, into the life of the world to come. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Rejoicing in Christ's salvation offered to all, let us call upon God our Father for ourselves and for all people.
Kind Father, Your Son declared to us that we cannot serve you and also be devoted to money. Free all your baptized children from obsession with the goods of this world, that they may set their hearts on the joys of the kingdom and the inheritance that never fades. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you entrust to your people the abundant wealth of Christ's salvation in your word and sacraments. Bless pastors, that they might be faithful stewards of these mysteries, and grant that all your people would make proper use of your means of grace and rejoice in your salvation. Give wisdom to Pastor Robert Beinke, that he might lead our New England district faithfully in his office as district president. Lord, in your mercy. Maker of heaven and earth, you have created man and woman for different offices and with different gifts, that they might complement one another and glorify you. Grant that in our homes and congregations, your people might rejoice in the callings you have given them. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, through the Son of Mary, you receive little ones and welcome them into your kingdom. Grant your care to all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially to Shayla, Alyssa, and Joelle, that their pregnancies and births would be safe and their children receive holy baptism. Grant your grace to Malin Brielle, that by the washing of new birth in the Holy Spirit, she might know the loving kindness of God, her Savior, now and always, and help her parents, Andrew and Melinda, to teach her your ways. Lord, in your mercy. God, our Savior, uphold our president, our governor, and all whom you have placed in high positions with wisdom and mercy, that we may lead peaceable and quiet lives, godly and dignified in every way. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, be with the sick and those who suffer, those troubled in mind, those grieving in their sorrows, and the dying in their last hours. We pray in particular for Jim, Beth, Karen, Dan and Connie, Ralph and Sandy, Jason, Pat, Susan, Mike, Marty, Robert, Mike and Nancy, John Jr., Lucy, Sherry, Ed, Alicia, Nancy, Ted, Gwen, and Anthony, for Karen, Rick, and Andrea, who are homebound, and for the Lipke family. Grant to all of them the comfort of your presence, relief according to your will, and peace in their hearts. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, your Son gave himself as a ransom for all, and now gives himself to us, that we might have life and salvation. Give us unity in faith and hearts eager for mercy as we receive his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty Father, you desire all to be saved. Remember your foes who forget your word and call them to repentance and faith, that they also would rejoice in your righteousness and salvation. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks to you, O Lord, for you have forgiven our debt of sin for the sake of Jesus. Preserve us in his grace and life until that day when you gather us to be among the saints in glory around your throne. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right that we do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary, For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our reading today is Isaiah 45. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. Truly, you are God who hides himself. O God of Israel, the Savior, all of them are put to shame and confounded. The makers of idols go in confusion together. But Israel is saved by the Lord with everlasting salvation. You shall not be put to shame or confounded to all eternity. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, he is God, who formed the earth, and he made it. He established it, and he did not create it empty. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I did not speak in secret in the land of darkness. I did not say to the offspring of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what's right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, your survivors of nations. They have no knowledge who carry about the wooden idols and keep on praying to a God that cannot save. Declare the presence, your case. Let them take counsel together. Who told this long ago? Who declared it of old? Was it not I, the Lord, and there is no other God besides me? A righteous God and a Savior, there is none beside me. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. By myself I have sworn, from my mouth has gone out in righteousness, a word that shall not return. To me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear allegiance. Only in the Lord it shall be said of me, our righteousness and strength. To him shall come and be ashamed all who are incensed against him. In the Lord all the offspring of Israel shall be justified and shall glorify. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other.
Thank you.
preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Everlasting God, we thank and praise you for feeding us the life-giving body and blood of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Send us your Holy Spirit, that having with our mouths received the Holy Sacrament, we may by faith obtain and eternally enjoy your divine grace, the forgiveness of sins, unity with Christ, and life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always.